Hi, I'm Jason Klepa, and you're listening to Beyond the Barbell Podcast.
All right, guys, welcome back to Beyond the Barbell. I am Ben Alderman.
And I'm Blair Morrison. We are sitting here today with Ashley Beaver of Live in Paleo fame. She is a FitAid athlete, also sponsored by Unbroken Designs, I Am Beast Mode, and Forklifter Foods. She has been at the regional level on a team and as an individual, and she is currently a valued grid competitor for the San Francisco Fire. Thanks for being here, Ashley.
Thank you.
So what have you been up to lately?
Mostly training. That's about it.
Yeah.
I just finished grid season and getting back into CrossFit and working on my blog. So I think just kind of trying to figure out what next right now. So,
you just said getting back into CrossFit.
Yes.
Is that like a like prevailing philosophy that for grid competitors, like, hey, when we're doing grid, it's not CrossFit?
I'd say for some of them, a lot. So I'd say for me, I was able to actually kind of still keep doing CrossFit because I'm more of a generalist on the team. So keeping my conditioning up, I was lucky I could keep doing that. I guess it's kind of an off season for CrossFit. So, you know, our strength specialist working on strength, that's still CrossFit in a sense. You know, but we have gymnastics specialists and they're just working on stuff they're good at where, you know, I think for CrossFit, you need to be focusing maybe more on your weaknesses. So in a sense, it's a little bit different. And so, you know, I was focusing on getting stronger, working on my skills when I probably should have just been running all the time if I was thinking about CrossFit. So, it's a little different in a sense, I guess.
Yeah, I think that's a really interesting success for the grid sport because I know it's a sport that was born from CrossFit. You know, CrossFitters split off and wanted to create this separate, more team-style event or team-style sport, and it was very, very important that they did not denote it as CrossFit or that it was a separate, you know, type of sport. And the fact that the athletes are thinking of it separately is probably a testament to the fact that it's, you know, it happened that way.
Yeah. That it is in fact different.
Yeah.
So as you get back into CrossFit, you know, you said you're running more. I mean, what else is different? Do you train longer days? Do you train shorter days? I mean, do you keep up a little bit of grid maintenance, you know, at all?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I love grid, so I definitely want to keep that up because I want to keep playing. I'd say during grid I was training almost all the whole day, but it was very different. You know, we just work on more like transitions and teamwork and stuff and going over plays over and over and over. So we were in the gym all day, but maybe not training, you know, really hard all day. So when I'm doing, you know, back in the gym for CrossFit, I'm in the gym a few hours, but it's probably a lot more intense training.
You know, the training all day, I saw it seemed like that there were more injuries. Injuries were more prevalent in grid than they seemed to be in CrossFit. Did it seem like that being on the inside? Did it seem like injuries were more because you guys were maybe doing higher skill movements more often or lifting heavier weights or having to sprint? Did you kind of feel that?
So personally, I felt like I was a lot less injured, but I feel like there was a lot of my teammates that were more injured. And I think that has a lot to do with what your role is on the team. Because I was a generalist, I wasn't cycling a barbell as much as other people. And I think the people that were used to on the barbell over and over and over definitely had some injuries occurring. So I mean, I feel like I'm fairly strong, but in our team, I was pretty weak. So I didn't get to touch a barbell much.
If you had to point to one thing that you love about grid that maybe you don't get to do when you're competing in CrossFit, what would that be?
Just being able to train with my teammates every day. I think it's pretty cool to be put on a team with, you know, 20 amazing athletes and just having the opportunity to train with them every day. I mean, I'm in a gym with great people too, but, you know, there's like four or five of us. And just every day there's someone that was willing to work out with me, you know, so that was just super cool, you know.
How are your facilities?
Our facility was really nice. We trained out of CrossFit Pleasanton, which is a pretty big gym, and had a whole grid set up, Alico barbells, you know, everything. So that was really nice.
That's really cool.
It was fun.
So is that the main thing that you really loved about the grid was the teammate aspect of it, or is it the actual sport itself? Is it that kind of like more intense, you know, sprint style you know, functional fitness that you loved, or was it really like the environment that kind of put you in?
I mean, the environment was awesome, and I think that translated to when we actually competed too. You know, team sports are a lot of fun. Just going out there, you know, you want to do your best to, so you won't let anyone down, and it's just exciting to win with your team. So the racing was so much fun, but being part of the team made it that much more fun.
I don't know. I'm trying to imagine if I was stuck in the same house and working out with Ben every single day. I'm not sure I would like that very much.
Yeah, the look on your face says something completely different right now.
That I would like it a lot?
You would love it.
No.
You would love it.
Yeah. You don't know how to read
your
me,
quads
bro.
Would grow.
You don't know me.
My lungs would grow. It would be the best of both worlds, bro.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, I guess we have to take Ashley's word for it because we will never know. Yeah,
we will never know. You have a new baby, and I've got four, and this is never happening. Our wives won't let it happen. I would actually do it for a little while. Like, hey, you know, you ladies take care of the kids and
stake out an apartment.
We're just going to live, eat, train all day long and play video games.
It was interesting living in a house. There was 8 guys and 3 girls in one house, and it got interesting. But it was fun.
Yeah, it's a little bit like the real world.
Yeah, it was different.
What was the age range of people that were living together?
The youngest, I think, was Tyler. So he's 22. And then the oldest, probably about 31.
Okay.
They put Chad in his own place because he's, you know, old and...
Masters athletes get their way.
Masters athletes kind of get what they want.
Yeah, you have to. They're set in their ways. They have certain routines. And Chad is one of those guys, right? He's got his routines. He's got his food. He knows what he's going to do. And nobody's going to get him off of it for sure.
Yeah.
And that's a good thing for Chad for sure because he has all the good habits.
Yeah. When you were in the house, though, what was the nutrition like? Because I've heard some stories about like the teams, like when they are living together, that it sounds a lot like almost like a spring break thing where there's like tons of partying, tons of eating like donuts and ice cream, and it's kind of whatever, but I'm sure it's a little different for each individual. What did you feel like the general like food situation was like?
So I definitely feel like guys like to eat a lot of junk food. And so living in a house with 8 of them, there was a lot of junk food all the time. And our kitchen was disgusting.
Nobody cleaning?
It was pretty bad. So I didn't ever want to cook because it was so gross. So it definitely made it hard, which was nice to have my meals most of the time. And we ate out a lot.
This is sounding a little bit more like a fraternity or a sorority house, actually, the more I think about it.
Or my house.
Or your house.
Yeah.
Nobody cleans up your house either?
No. I'm just kidding. I'm just giving my wife a hard time.
We drank a lot of wine. Bottles and bottles of wine. But it was fun.
How did that go with your paleo mantra? I mean, you're like the poster child for this. You know,
I did
clean.
My best. I wasn't perfect though.
No.
But yeah, well, so I made breakfast every day, and then I kind of just ignored the kitchen after that. I mean, I cleaned my own dishes. And then they got us lunch every day.
Okay.
So every day we went to train, they brought us, catered us lunch. So every day I had breakfast and lunch really easy, and then probably ate out for dinner a lot. So,
with the volume of training you guys were doing, though, it seems like you could get away with eating pretty much anything that you want.
Yeah, I feel like I ate a lot during...
I mean, was anybody gaining like massive amounts of body fat or anything like that? You know what I mean? Yeah, you guys were training all the time.
And how long were you guys all down there together?
2 months.
Man, that's a substantial chunk of time.
Yeah.
To be not washing dishes.
I mean, how
funky were the showers?
I mean, well, so I got really lucky. I shared the master bedroom with the other 2 girls, so we had our own shower. And
right. I'm not thinking that is a good sign at all.
I don't know what the guy shower looked like.
Hair clogging the drain. Yeah. And just so many bottles
of shampoo.
Those weird
hair balls that just...
against the tile.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, so that's not just Steph.
Right. Everybody does that.
Everybody does that. Okay.
Guys
not guys. Can you imagine these little, like, 3/4-inch hairs just, like, doesn't happen, right? Like, doesn't fall off of us and collect on the tile. So they didn't have like a house cleaner come in for you guys like once a week or something like that? I feel like that would almost be a prerequisite for a house full of athletes.
We had a couple times, but not enough.
Once a month somebody comes in and cleans
your twice
house.
While we were there.
So you're cooking breakfast, you're getting catered lunch, and then you guys go out to dinner?
Yeah, we went out to dinner a lot.
So that's out for a long training day, so everybody's probably just ready to just eat whatever.
Yeah, and there's a Whole Foods close by, so we went to Whole Foods a lot. And
did you write a lot about this on your blog?
I wrote a very long article, one, about the whole thing in general, yeah.
Can you give us a synopsis?
I think it was interesting at first to just move into a house with a bunch of people I didn't know. And a lot of people seemed really shy at first. And it's, you know, like anything, everyone starts to open up. Things start to get a little weird. But it was super fun. We got in a big van every day and drove to the gym together. trained literally all day. We had on-site physical therapists and stuff so we could, you know, go see them, which actually I think helped a lot with maybe my injuries. I was, you know, tried to be smart about, like, preventative stuff. So that was really nice. And then, it was just a cool experience in general. And I had a couple of friends on the team that I knew before, so that was a lot of fun to just, you know, be able to train with them every day. So, yeah.
So maybe next year, like, once a week, don't have a physical therapist on site and have them go to the house and clean, right?
Yeah.
There you go.
Once a week.
Once a week. You know, we're not asking for too much, right?
That's totally doable.
The muscles, the body is still the priority, but the house needs to be cleaned.
It's got
to
be a temple.
I don't know. Yeah. It's got to be a temple. So you're also doing the team series. We're in the midst of the team series right now, yes. And you got to partner up with a few different people, one sitting to my left.
Yes.
Tell me a little bit about that and how that came about.
Yeah, so Blair asked me to be on the Fit Aid team, and I didn't do the team series last year, so it sounded fun. The first workouts came out during grid, and so it was a lot, and we all met up in Stockton, and it was a lot more fun than I thought it was going to be. We just kind of relaxed and had a good time and strategizing and stuff and, you know, kind of figuring out what the best aspect for all of us was. And, I had a really good time. And then I hurt my knee. So this one's not going to be as fun. But
you guys have like a 7-rep max front squat or something like that today?
Yeah, no big deal.
So if we use like a 7-rep max pistol, right?
I thought about it.
Front squat pistol.
I wonder how much I could squat on one leg.
Yeah, it was really – we did one of the workouts a few days ago, and – you know, I was standing across from Ashley as we were doing these shoulder to overheads. And so one of us had to hold the bar overhead while the other one did the shoulder to overhead. So I remember standing there holding the bar and just watching Ashley as she just like grimaced and leaned hard to her right to get off of her left knee.
Wow.
Right?
Other way.
Other way. Yeah. So yeah, my visual. I'm not in a mirror, but so yeah, she was leaning hard one way and basically doing all the pushing off the good leg. It was just, it was tough.
So you guys aren't at 100%. And we know that from last year, I was injured last year on our team,
right.
when I was Blair's teammate. And so now this year, I think it's Blair's fault. You know, like anybody who works out with Blair gets injured. Because you know what? It's because you have to do all the freaking work when you're partnering with Blair.
It's more like you're just trying so hard to keep up.
I don't think that's the case. That 135-pound shoulder to overhead.
Just watch me out there and they're like, God, I really got to step it up. And then, oh, I'm hurt. Ow.
There is an economy of motion with you because with such little muscle, how much you can move, it is impressive.
I think that's a compliment.
It is in a way. In a way, it's a compliment. So
so we got the team series to finish up today, and that's going to be, I think, you know, we've talked off the air, that's going to be your kind of last big thing for a little while, right?
Yeah, so it's kind of a bummer. I had a bunch of stuff coming up, wanted to do the Cascade Classic this past weekend, and I was trying to do the Wadapalooza qualifier, so everything's a little out the window, just a bummer, and then Iron October next weekend, so, but I think it's so early in the season, it just makes sense to be smart right now and heal up. So
what is the next thing that you really want to try to make sure that you are, you know, being a part of?
The American Open. Which is the first week in December. So 6 weeks, so it should be, I'm hoping, it should be fine.
Yeah, I mean, your knee is just, it's just tendonitis.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So as long as I don't make it worse, I think it'll be fine.
One of your grid physical therapists, you know, that you've worked with in the past, will they work on you even now in the off season?
Yeah, so I went last week actually and saw them, and that's how I know what it is. And yeah, so that's actually really cool that they'll still help me out.
Yeah, that is very cool. So the American Open, that's very cool. So is that something that do you always participate in weightlifting and weightlifting competitions or?
I did my first few last year, mostly just did it because, you know, in CrossFit sometimes they throw us out there to do a 1-rep max, and all of a sudden it's so different from every other CrossFit event. You know, everyone's staring at you, you get one chance, and there's a lot of pressure, and I thought, well, why not try a weightlifting competition just to get better at that? And so last year I qualified for American Open and flew out to Washington, D.C. to do that, and it was just super cool and fun, and this year I was like, eh, we'll see. I don't know if I'll do it. But this year it's in Reno and it's so close. So literally like 2 weeks ago, I was like, I'm just going to try to qualify. So I went and did a comp just to qualify, just because I was like, I'm going to regret it if I don't, because it's right here. So
yeah, sure.
Sounds a lot like somebody else I know.
I know. There's a last chance qualifier, like you think in like a week or two.
In San Francisco.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's in a week or two. Is it next weekend?
The 25th. Yeah.
The 25th. Yeah. So I would have to go, and I can't. I'm not supposed to be snatching.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not supposed to be snatching. So I'd have to power snatch like 275, and then I'd have to clean and jerk like, I think like 341, something like that. Ooh. Numbers that are definitely doable for me, but
with a bad
shoulder or recovering shoulder. I'm not sure.
Sorry. Next year.
Yeah, next year. I think that's what's going to have to be is next year.
I was going to do that one on the 25th, but I was like, that's a way to put a lot of pressure on yourself. Like, okay, you have like one day to try to do this. So that's why I did it a couple weeks ago. But yeah.
What were your numbers?
So my knee had just started hurting really bad. And I was like, so I snatched 167, which is not a lot, but it was left
enough.
It was plenty, because then I only needed to clean and jerk like 205 or maybe 200. So my knee was hurting so bad, I thought, okay, I'll just go clean and jerk 200 and then I'll scratch the rest. Well, you know, when you're in the moment, that never happens. So I ended up clean and jerking 220, which was a meet PR. So that was cool. So, yeah.
100 kilograms.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like,
167 and 220?
Yeah.
Well, that's pretty good on the same day. That's about your PR for same day lifting.
For me?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess that's my meat PR.
that's your meat PR? No, I'm kind of envious. I really did, even last year, I really wanted to do a weightlifting competition. I just thought, you know, I'm always training away from my strengths in CrossFit.
Yeah.
You know, I'm constantly just trying to improve my running, constantly trying to improve my burpees, constantly trying to improve my box jumps and rowing and whatever. You know, it's like, I'm good at weightlifting.
Yeah.
You know, and I just wanted to weightlift. And so last year I was going to do it, and I didn't end up doing it.
Yeah.
And then this year, you know, my labrum was torn and I had 6 anchors put in it. So it just, it was not a good idea.
Yeah.
So I'm like really, really jealous that you get to do that. We're able to send an athlete from here who qualified, maybe 2 athletes. We'll see what happens in a couple weeks. But
yeah, it's so fun. It's like, you know, if you're strong enough just to qualify without having to train for it, I think it's just fun to go do. If I had to train for it, well, then I guess it'd be a weakness and that'd be good too. But I'm not training for it at all, because it's not what, as far as CrossFit goes, I need to be working on. But to be able to just go do it for fun is kind of cool.
Have you seen a lot of athletes that are maybe no longer training for CrossFit as much because of these other interests like weightlifting or grid?
I guess a little bit. I think if you find something that you just love so much and it's worth it to just specifically train for that, I think there's probably a couple people, you know, on my team and stuff, but at the same time, well, with grid, I mean, I hope it takes off, but I guess there's, you know, it's so new, it'd be hard to justify, at least in my mind, to just train specifically for that.
Because CrossFit is so much more established.
Yeah, I think. I mean, but there's people on my team that, you know, love grid so much and realize they hate CrossFit. So like, well, I'm just going to train for this, you know?
That's kind of what I was alluding to, is because I feel like, you know, CrossFit is something that has opened up the doors for competitive fitness in a sense. And, you know, there's probably a lot of other options out there for people that are a lot less painful, you know, a lot less demoralizing at times. So I was just curious about that.
I've thought about it. Sometimes I'm like, I hate CrossFit so much. It hurts so bad. And like, I'm so good at weightlifting. Why don't I just do this? But then I'm like, I'd probably go crazy. Like, just weightlifting, I think it would.
Right. Even though it's hard, there is infinite variety. And that's one of the saving graces.
Yeah. I mean, since I hurt my knee and I can't run, I'm like, I hate running, but I want to do it. You know, it's like.
Right. Nobody likes being bad at stuff. Right.
Yeah.
So if CrossFit is the way that you get reminded of what you're bad at, then you get motivated to do something. Whereas if you're only doing stuff you're good at, I don't know, maybe you're not as motivated.
Yeah.
Well, another thing too, I think people are kind of taking notice of what a little bit of conditioning and a little bit of, you know, body weight training can help, you know, or how it can help, you know, no matter what you do. Like, you see powerlifters now doing a little bit of like general conditioning, like not a lot, but they're doing like sled pushes and, you know, maybe a little bit of burpees mixed in, you know, or doing a little EMOM or an AMRAP of some sort. You know, they're way different than what we do. But
like when Mark Bell came and did a CrossFit workout after his episode of this podcast.
I know. He's so fired up. I just think he's so excited to talk CrossFit.
That footage is still out there.
Oh, it's still out there.
Still out there waiting to be released.
Yeah, somewhere. Somewhere. but yeah, that was really fun to watch him do that. But I think you have like people who realize just a little bit more conditioning is going to be you know, better. Like the bigger the engine, right, the more horsepower you can kind of dump into it. I think actually Mark said that when he was on the show, you know?
Yeah.
So,
and I think for me, one of my biggest just weaknesses in fitness overall is like my mental, the mental side. And that comes out when I try to do these CrossFit workouts that hurt so bad. And that's what I want to get better at. You know, I want to get stronger mentally. So I don't think I could ever stop doing CrossFit for that reason. You know, I want to be the best I can in my own head.
Well, with that in mind, you know, you, this last year was your first year as an individual athlete, right?
Yeah.
And you'd been on a team two years before that. Tell us a little bit about that experience as an individual at the Super Regional. What was it like for you?
It was really hard. I mean, I was super excited to do it. I went in feeling, you know, the best condition I'd ever been, strongest I'd ever been. So I was like, okay, I'm like really excited, you know, like I want to go to the games, but I don't think I realized how hard it is to compete as an individual. I just, like I said, I hadn't done many individual competitions. It's hard. It's stressful. Like it, I got in my own head a lot. You know, I'd get out there and start going and I'd see people beating me and I'd just like literally give up on myself. And I was like, oh my gosh, what's happening? You know, like in the gym, I wouldn't do that. So it was a huge learning experience. And I think, you know, I've been asked by a lot of people to go team again, but I just don't think for my own sake, I'm not ready to do it again. I need to keep pursuing this as an individual and get better at that. Somehow figure out how. It was hard, but I loved it.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, having kind of went through that a little bit myself, you know, just recently, as I've been at regionals 4 years in a row. My first year, I was extremely surprised to even have made it, you know, and then you get there and you see, and this is when they took 60 the first time, I believe, right? The first time I made it.
Yeah, it was top 60.
Yeah, top 60. So the difference between your number, like, say, 50 athlete and the number one athlete is not 49 spots, like the difference between a 1,000th athlete and the 950th athlete, right? Like, to make it from 49 to first is, you're like playing a whole different game.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So you see some like crazy stuff out there and you're kind of just like, can I do this? Like, can I even just walk out there for another workout? And then, and you see these guys who are just like, they walk out there and they just do it over and over and over and over again. And then even when they happen to lose, they're fine.
Yeah.
Right. They don't care. You know, and you're just like, oh, how do you do that? Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, this is really interesting. And then this year I feel like was a lot different in that sense. Like just to almost feel like you belong, to feel like you should be there, to feel like people are watching out for you. You know, like there's this whole process, if you stick with it, that eventually if you keep showing up, you know, and you keep putting in the time and you keep going to that dark place mentally in training, that you get better from that experience the year before, right? Because you kept pushing even when you were like, can I do this anymore? So when you get to back to the gym, you take that same mindset, right? Like you're, I don't know, maybe 2 years better than you were when you left the week before.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? Like mentally you're almost like 2 years more advanced than the people who are still at the gym who never were able to compete at that level, you know? So you're able to take like that much more tenacity to all your workouts. And then that's what helps propel you forward. So if that experience doesn't break you, then it's going to build you and you're going to be like way better next year.
Yeah. I hope. I mean, the whole weekend was like a roller coaster. I remember the first day, I did not do as well as I'd hoped. The first two workouts, I went home, I cried. I was like, I don't even want to finish. Like, you know, it's just like so disappointed. The second day was terrible. And then the third day, I just was like, well, now just go have some fun. Like, you know, and I did so much better. So it's just like, I was just in my head the whole weekend. So it's like, I just keep thinking about the third day, you know, that if I had just, you know, there's so many workouts, you know, it's not just if you mess up one, it's not the end of the world, even though I thought it was. So I have to remember that going forward for sure.
Yeah, I think you looking back on it as a learning experience is a really good way to look at it. Ben just said this is his fourth year at regional. So 2012 was your first year?
Yes, 2012. 12, 13, 14, 15. Yes.
You just look at the amount of improvement he's made in 4 years, which I didn't realize it, he'd only been doing this at that level for 4 years.
Yeah.
But it's a strong, strong curve, like learning curve. He's just ramping way up. And that's something that we all think you can do as well because of the natural strengths you have, the way you attack your weaknesses, and you know the opportunity in the sport for people that move well, you know, and are committed is really, really huge. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, for Ben, going in 2012, finishing...
I finished ninth, I believe.
Ninth that year.
Yeah, ninth.
And then 2013?
Seventh.
Seventh. 2014?
Seventh.
And then 2015?
Ninth at Super Regional. But would it put me second had it been a NorCal individual region, right? You know?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
even if Jason Klepa showed back up, I still would have been third if he beat me. If he beat me.
That's a strong if.
That's a strong if. I mean, I don't want to... I'm not trying to mess with your head, Jay, but I'm just saying. If you ever decide to put the individual shorts back on...
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Never, I'm not going to try to walk that walk at all.
And I think that's not even a good representation of what's actually happened because, like Ben said, in the beginning or earlier on in the regionals when there was less polished athletes out there, mm-hmm. like less refined athletes, you know... Being ninth in 2012 was probably the equivalent of being like 25th or 30th because the gap between the guys at the top and the guys 10 to 15 was actually pretty big. Mm-hmm. It wasn't represented by the amount of placings. There was just nobody else there to fill in the gaps.
Right.
And so now he's one of those guys, right? And there are so many more polished athletes. I mean, you can tell by what's happened to my placings. I'm not any worse of an athlete than I was in – 2012 when I took fourth.
Yeah.
But there's a lot more guys that are filling in those gaps between like guys like Kalipa who are at the top of the food chain and then, filling out to the next 20. So I think you're staying focused and really being positive about what happened and what you're doing it's important and stay healthy.
Thanks.
Yeah. And once you start to believe really that you belong there, like you're like, you know what? I earned this spot. I totally belong here. I don't just kind of belong here. It wasn't a fluke that I got here.
Yeah.
I've believed that it was a fluke. I made regionals 3 years in a row, right? Yeah. This year when it was a fluke. It was
Totally. It was a total fluke you made it that year with your appendix.
Oh, that's true.
That was insane.
Yeah, that was crazy. I managed to do the double under snatch workout, which is one of my worst workouts, and I just held onto the bar. I don't know if it was just like leftover painkillers and morphine from surgery, but I did that 8 days after appendix surgery.
You had no business making the top 50 or whatever that was that year.
No, it was crazy. So, and I made it, and then I still took seventh at regionals, and I just couldn't run. I couldn't do a lot of things up until that point that I needed to do to be able to improve my engine like I wanted to. Which I have always had a problem. It's always been an enigma to me to be able to try to finish that.
I mean, you and Ben are kind of like the same athlete.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel
you guys
like we
really are the same.
But you know what the thing is I think there's a lot of room in this sport for athletes like us who, even though we have maybe a big deficiency in long-running cardio workouts, which would build everything else so well if we had it, it just wouldn't be fair for everyone else, number one. But number two...
Chad McKay does it.
Yeah, I know, right? But... Number two, I think there's a lot of room in this sport for athletes who know themselves, right? Like if you know what your deficiency is and you attack it with a lot of tenacity, there's going to be room for you in a sport that's predicated on work capacity, right? Like that's what our sport is about. Like people tell me all the time, like they send me a video of them doing like 15 freestanding handstand pushups in a row. I'm like, bro.
It's cool.
So cool.
That's really cool. Put it on Instagram. But that does like... Never do that again from here till the open. Never do that again because you need to work on, I don't know, you can't even do 30 pull-ups in a row. You know what I mean? Or you can't do, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like our sport is, like I said, it's built on work capacity. So for someone who knows that their weakness is running and endurance,
you can get away with that.
Yeah, you can get away with that, and there's still room for you to grow, and there's still, you know that, so you can attack it all off season. You know, and then you're like, oh, well, I'm doing them. Yeah, exactly. You should see my workouts are terrible. I mean, they're horrible, long, grueling EMOMs. And I'm like, I just want to be like Blair and be able to lift all the time, you know, and then I would be happy. But then he doesn't even lift anymore.
Yeah.
You could tell.
No, I lift all the time.
I'm just kidding. He lifts all the time.
I'm such a great weightlifter. You're so jealous.
But I think no matter what your weakness is, it's not as fun to work on. You know, if your weakness is gymnastics or weightlifting, you're going to get frustrated just like I do when I have to run. Yeah. So
that's true, because we talked about it a couple weeks ago that, you know, everybody wants pats on the back. And if you're always doing things that you're not good at, you're definitely not going to pat yourself on the back, and nobody else is really going to do that either.
No, no one's going to do that. And the other thing is, I'll tell you what, I don't like running, because when you PR your mile time, you don't get to like slam a barbell and jump around and like high five people. You just lay on the ground and roll around. You know what I mean? It's like, it hurts so bad. You know, it's like, oh, I just PR'd my 2K. Great. You know what I mean? Like, welcome to like not being able to walk or see straight for the next 20 minutes.
That's so true. That's the worst PR.
Right?
Just falling off the row.
Yeah.
Not good.
Trying to get your foot out of the strap. It takes like 3 seconds, but it feels like it takes like 30. Yeah. You know what I mean? Just let go of the rower and it slams back. The handle slams back into the little whatever.
Bro, you want to hear a true story? So regionals 2009 in the Mid-Atlantic. It was in Virginia Beach. One of the events was a 2K row for time. Oh. I'd only done it once before, and that was in preparation for this event. I PR'd, it got 6:47, and I have yet to try that again.
It was so awful.
Every other time I've done a 2K row,
you give up.
It has been with something else following it, and that is not an accident.
Right.
Because I do not want to just do that
right
again.
Because you know, like,
I was on the cold concrete floor trying to suck on a banana to get some sort of sugar and potassium back to my body, because I was in full-on total body spasm.
Oh. Yeah. That's miserable.
Awful.
Yeah, it's terrible.
I was just screaming everywhere, like, ah!
I really think that one of our workouts for the Open, and I'm not trying to give Castro any ideas, because he, once I say it, it means it probably won't happen, which is a good thing.
Not true.
You know, it's like a 2K row, and then like AMRAP afterwards, you know, or not AMRAP, like a set, like a task priority workout, and then you have two scores, like a point one or a point or a or and a b, you know,
right.
And so you get like, you get your score for your 2K and you get a score for total time, so you have to row the 2K hard in the Open. I just think it'd be just horrible.
Did that with the marathon.
Yeah, exactly. Ooh. Just like the marathon, but you do apply that to the Open, and instead of having people keep rowing, you have them get off the rower and do something else, you know, because if it's just a rowing workout, the mentally weaker athletes will just be like, you know what, I don't need to win this workout. But if it has something followed, like, you know, a heavy snatch workout, a snatch ladder, right?
Yeah,
like,
right,
your big guys are going to pull hard. Your little guys are going to pull hard. Like, everybody's going to be trying to get the most out of it.
Yeah.
You know? I don't know.
Doesn't sound fun to me.
No.
That means it probably happened.
I love your, like, your, the way you lead in with that story. You want to hear a true story? I'm like, I've been waiting to hear a true story. So everything else has been fabricated. Everything else you come up with is just a complete lie.
Well, that story is so sensational that you may not believe it.
I know, right? I was laying on the cold concrete.
What were you doing
in
2009, Ben?
You sure it was a banana, bro?
What were you doing in 2009?
2009.
Concentration curls and skull crushers.
In 2009, let's see here. That was, what, 6 years ago? Is that 6 years ago now?
Yeah.
Holy smoke. I was still thinking
seven
that
years ago, actually.
I could become an MMA fighter. I was still thinking that that was a good path for me to use my fitness and do that.
You want to hear something else that's going to be funny?
Is it a true story?
Ashley, what were you doing 7 years ago?
I actually had just started CrossFit.
No way.
Yeah.
You've been doing CrossFit longer than Ben.
I started in 2008.
Oh, I was using CrossFit for MMA, bro.
But
I started
did it very
well.
Off and on. Gabe introduced me to CrossFit in 2008.
Well, there you go.
What'd you do? Just stumble into his gym, or how'd that happen? How'd you get How'd you get sucked into the CrossFit world?
I was in college at UOP, and Gabe was my personal trainer, and we just did like group personal training classes. And then when I graduated, I moved to the Bay Area.
Subri is a personal trainer. Can you imagine that? You walk in, he's just picking at his t-shirt and just like telling you what you gotta, you know,
like sunglasses
rolling
on
his shoulder.
Inside.
Yeah. Was he bald?
Yes.
Okay. So I was wondering when he started losing
Super
his hair.
Head, shiny head.
Yeah. Baby oil. Do you have baby oil on?
Probably.
So intimidating.
Yeah. Shaving his arm where his tattoo is.
But yeah, he was my trainer for like a year and a half. And then when I graduated and moved to Bay Area, I was like, well, I cannot afford a personal trainer in the Bay Area. And he's like, find CrossFit. So I found a CrossFit gym and started back then.
Wow.
Yeah. Are you an athlete at UOP?
No. I did gymnastics growing up, but I only did it till my freshman year of high school. And then, so I feel like there's many years where I was like missing something. And that's why I started personal training. Well, I tried to do cheerleading at UOP because I'd done competitive cheerleading, but the cheerleading team sucked so bad, and I was like, oh, this is not fun. And so
you were better than their team.
I mean,
pretty sure none of them are listening right now. So. Listening.
If they are, they're doing CrossFit now, and they think you're cool, so don't worry about it. You can say whatever you want.
Yeah, they just couldn't do anything. You know, it wasn't like I'd done competitive cheerleading where we like stunted and tumbled, and this was just kind of lame. And there's no football team at UOP, so it's just like basketball. So it was just kind of – anyway. So I had a friend that was going to Gabe, and she's like, well, come train with us. So I went, and it was just fun because it wasn't CrossFit. It was like boot camp, though, and I was like, oh, this is kind of – you know, it was a little challenging and a little bit competitive because I did it like with a group of people. And so, yeah, I was like, I've been missing some kind of sport, and this was kind of sport-like for me. So, yeah, so I got into it.
And then when you moved to the Bay Area, is that when you started your blog?
No. So I moved to the Bay Area, worked for a couple years, and...
Doing?
So my first job out of college was for... I was working for Mervyn's. I thought I wanted to be a fashion buyer.
Like Rachel and Friends?
Yeah, I thought that's what I wanted to do. And then Mervyn's went out of business, and then I worked for another company in their merchandise department, and then I realized I hated it. So my best friend and I both quit our jobs and moved to Australia. And when I was in Australia, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm on my own and I don't know how to cook. And so I started my blog because I didn't know how to cook.
Nice. I had no idea. I'd never heard that story before.
So people were trying my recipes that probably weren't very good in the beginning, but they played along.
No, that's very cool. I like that. Do you still have those recipes up on the very same blog? If I scrolled back far enough, would I see those?
Yeah. When I transferred my blog one time, I might have taken a couple of them off, but some of the very first ones are still on there, yeah, from a long time ago.
Very cool. Yeah. I think, like, people listen to our show, and it's so refined and polished now.
It is a very polished show.
Yeah. That if you went back and listened to our first episodes, it would be, you know, like a trip down memory lane.
Well, it's underwater.
Underwater, right? For sure.
His first show is underwater.
Yeah.
Which is good for our, you know, lung capacity and
cardio. It's cardio for me.
Scuba skills.
We're like we're huddling around the computer microphone, you know, right, as best we can.
And you've been steadily producing these kind of, I don't want to say non-professional recipes, but like you're creating your own paleo recipes this whole time since then?
Yeah. So when I first started paleo, there wasn't a lot of blogs, so it was just like totally experimental and a lot of bad recipes, and I was really bad at taking pictures. So if you scroll back, don't judge my pictures because they're awful.
Taste the food, don't judge the pictures.
Yeah, I probably people didn't try them because the pictures were so bad. So I've been working on taking better pictures and
the recipes don't have to be as good, right? Because you take better pictures and then people will try it, and then the recipes don't have to be as good.
Yeah, no, the pictures are beautiful and the recipes probably still aren't. But no. So I've been blogging ever since then, trying to keep it up as much as I can.
That's very cool. So as we move forward into the season, you know, your knee's kind of banged up. You know, you obviously got your blog, you have different things. What are you focused on just moving forward for the next, you know, little bit as we just – get ready. I mean, honestly, the Open is, what, 4 months away? 5 months away?
Yeah.
It's 150 days.
I always feel like when October comes, I'm like, oh, gosh, I know the Open's just going to be here, and then it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, October is when I realize that.
Freaking printing out score sheets for your gym and just, oh, my gosh. Yeah, doing that whole number.
Doing the draft, the fantasy draft.
Oh, the fantasy draft. But anyway, so... The fantasy draft, that's something that Blair does at his gym where he he has all the coaches pick basically players just like you would in a fantasy football team.
Oh.
And then
pick from our gym members.
Oh, from your gym members.
Yeah, from the gym members, yeah.
Okay.
I think we should do a fantasy and just do like worldwide.
Worldwide, that'd be
cool. Just pick athletes.
Yeah.
Like, they do that. There's somebody who does that online.
Oh,
really?
Cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you can put money
first
into
pick,
it.
First pick, Ashley Beaver.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Top pick.
So anyway, go ahead. What you're focused on? I mean, I know you said you want to build your running.
Yep.
Does that involve, you know, utilizing a coach? Does that involve a progression? I mean, how does that work for you? Or is it just like wake up in the morning and go for a run?
No, I want to be as best prepared this year as possible. So I've, you know, written out a lot of goals and a lot of trying to figure out how I'm going to achieve that. So I'm going to have someone program for me. And then I'll have a coach as well. So hopefully between that and Chad just killing me, I should be good.
Friend of the program, Chad Augustine.
Yep. Friend of the program. I think he's a friend of everybody. Never met anybody who's like, Chad Augustine? Oh, hell no. Keep me away from that dude. I do not like Chad. I think he's a firefighter. I think he's a public servant, and I just got something against public service people and generally nice
chief,
people.
Chief Augustine, though.
Yeah, Chief Augustine, right? Captain, Chief. Yeah. Chief. What, chief. Yeah, chief. Chief. You're right.
He made me do a few weeks ago multiple repeats of sprints carrying him because he can't run because his knee. And he said, this is my way of making sure you can't stop because I'm right in your ear the whole time.
Transferred his knee injury to you.
Yeah, I know. See, I think he wanted me to be his like constant training partner. So he's like, well, if we have the same injury, it's the same knee. Let's do all our workouts together.
What's the worst workout he's ever made you do?
He just made me do it the other day.
Okay.
Because I hurt my knee.
True story.
An 800 meter handstand walk for time.
800 meters?
Mm-hmm. He said, this is...
Dude, that's just dumb. Chad, that is dumb.
Oh, my gosh.
If you're listening, don't do that to people.
I'm going to do it again, actually. So, because it was my own fault. So he said, go to a track, because I want it to be exact. So you have to go around the track two times. Well, I didn't want to go by myself. So I waited for my sister to get off work. And when she got off work, it was pitch black outside. And the track in my town is like uneven and gravel. I didn't realize how bad it was. So I put gloves on and I couldn't see where I was going. And I kept slipping on the gravel. It took me a really long time.
Like 2 hours.
It took me 56 minutes. But so I want to do it in daylight on a normal track. I'm going to try to do it in 30 minutes.
A half 30 a mile. Minutes?
A half mile. It was terrible.
I can't even do the math right now because that just sounds crazy to me.
Yeah, it's a lot. I was like crying, screaming. It was awful. But
you finished.
I finished. And I'm going to do it again. And Chad's going to do it with me. I told him he's going to do it. It's going to take him 4 hours, I think.
It's gonna, you're going to be there for a while.
As a gymnast.
Hey, bring a sleeping bag.
I've told him I'm bringing a picnic and a bottle of wine.
Yeah. And a sleeping bag. You'll be there overnight. Yes. I know that. Left arm just does not lock out for that guy.
I mean, how do you even come up with that?
That tricep is
going like to
detach from the elbow.
The other part
800
was
800 meters.
Every time I came down, I was supposed to do 10 V-ups afterwards. Like, I was supposed to add them up and at the end do all the V-ups. Well, I was supposed to do 2,250 V-ups. So I told him I didn't do that part. I'm going to be doing that for a month.
10 V-ups every time you come down? That's ridiculous.
What do you expect? Like, how many?
The first lap, I came down 100 times. But I couldn't see where I was going.
Yeah, but still, that's just crazy.
I'm impressed you kept track.
I
was like the only thing keeping me sane, like just something to count.
I was thinking like that there was some sort of, I don't know, conditioning workout you were going to say, something like a ton of burpees and toes to bars.
If you had asked me a week ago, I probably would have come up with something else, but this is definitely the worst thing I've ever had to do.
Yeah. I think that's just some arbitrary thing, you know, pistol jump for 800 meters, you know, like just something completely crazy that just seems impossible. Oh, man. Well, I guess we got to wrap this thing up. You guys got to get warmed up to hit this final workouts of the CrossFit Team Series for Team Fit Aid West.
That's right. We got to do the 7-rep front squats, one-legged for Ashley. Then we got to do the
Hey, maybe you guys do the same weight.
Oh, do you remember that time at Wadapalooza when I did all the front squats?
At the 265 bar?
285 bar, wasn't it?
Mm.
I did 9 at 265. Mm. 9 rep max, 265.
That's
true. What are you going to hit today?
I think 285.
But hopefully. You could do 285 for 9.
So. No, I did 265 for 9.
I know an athlete that did 325.
For 7?
For 7.
Yeah. Devin.
Devin.
Yeah.
And that's probably what Hannah would get if she was doing it.
Hannah probably could do that
oh
much.
Oh, my God.
But Devin's front squat max is, what, 370?
For three. So we don't even know what his front squat max is.
Yeah, see, this is not – we're not the same athlete.
No.
We're not the same
athlete. I don't think I could even do that.
No, you definitely couldn't.
No.
He's stronger than you are.
He's stronger than I am.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Ashley, thanks so much for being here.
Yeah.
It should go without saying, but if people want to follow you, where can they find you?
I'm on Instagram, livinpaleo, and then my blog is livinpaleocuisine.com.
So official. Live in Paleo Cuisine.
Yeah.
All right, guys, check us out. BTB Podcast on pretty much everything. BTBpodcast.com. And we'll catch you next week.
Thanks, Ashley.
Thanks.